Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. Coming up on today's program, Pope Benedict in Benin. We report on the second day of Pope Benedict's visit to the West African nation of Benin, that includes his address to the country's political and religious elite, his visit to the tomb of the Beninese Cardinal Bernardine Gantin, and the signing of the Apostolic Exhortation on the Second Synod of Bishops for Africa. Ambassador's Viewpoint. Benin's ambassador to the Holy See talks to us in an exclusive interview about the significance of this papal visit and relations between church and state and the figure of the late Cardinal Gantin. Synod conclusions. The highlight of this papal visit to Benin is the signing and release of the Apostolic Exhortation on the last Synod of Bishops for Africa, and the General Secretary of the Synod of Bishops explains why this papal document is so important for the Church in Africa. And challenges of mission in Benin. Listen to the testimony from a missionary who cares for children in the economic capital Cotonou, who speaks about the challenges of her work and the role of women in African society. Benedict is on the second day of his apostolic visit to the West African nation of Benin. The highlight of this three-day visit is the signing and publication of the Apostolic Exhortation on the Second Synod of Bishops for Africa, held in 2009. The document contains the Pope's conclusions following this synod, which were based on the guidelines drawn up by the bishops during the month-long gathering. On Saturday morning, the Pope formally signed the Apostolic Exhortation during a visit to the Basilica in the seaside town of Ouidah, and will hand it over to the bishops of Africa at a Mass on Sunday morning. Whilst in Ouidah, he also held a meeting with priests, seminarians and religious and lay people. Tracy McClure tells us more about these two events. Alleluia!
Reconciliation, justice, and peace. That was the theme that bishops of the 2009 Synod prayed and reflected on. And it was the urgency and importance of attaining these in Africa that Pope Benedict highlighted in the post-synodal document he formally signed on Saturday in Benin. In a brief address to bishops, clergy, and lay at the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, the Pope stressed his interest and concern for all the peoples of the African continent and neighboring islands, and he was in Benin to make that commitment clear. The post-synodal document is, of course, addressed to the entire church in Africa and presents, the Pope said, the bishop's reflection synthetically as part of a broad pastoral vision. Recalling another post-synodal exhortation, Ecclesia in Africa, that of his predecessor Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict reflected on the concept developed in that document of the Church as God's family.
Ce dernier a produit beaucoup de fruits spirituels pour l'Église catholique.
The Holy Father noted that this concept has borne many spiritual fruits and urged the Church in Africa to increasingly see herself as a family, open to cooperation with all members of society, particularly with representatives of the churches and ecclesial communities not yet in full communion with the Catholic Church, as well as with members of non-Christian religions, above all, he said, those of traditional religions and Islam. The theme of reconciliation, justice, and peace, the Pope said, are important issues for the world in general, but they take on a particular urgency in Africa. We need but recall the tensions, the acts of violence, the wars, the injustices and abuses of all sorts, new and old, which have marked this year, the Holy Father said. But a church reconciled within herself and among all her members, the Pope stressed, can become a prophetic sign of reconciliation in society within each country and the continent as a whole.
L'Église en Afrique est appelée à promouvoir la paix et la justice.
Recalling the continent's disturbing history at the hands of slave traders, the Pope urged the Church in Africa to combat every form of slavery and to never give up on the search for new paths of peace, for which we need to have courage and reconciliation born of forgiveness, he said. He called on men and women to reconcile and find peace with God and neighbor, and to work for greater justice in society to promote the welfare of all people, especially the disadvantaged and those in need of employment, schools, and hospitals. Reconciliation, justice, and peace were also at the heart of Pope Benedict's discourse earlier Saturday to seminarians, religious and lay, at St. Gall's Seminary in Ouidah. There he reminded priests that the responsibility for promoting these fall in a special way to you, and that they are called to be men of communion who are called to be holy, humble, balanced, wise, and magnanimous. The Pope called lay people to build families forged in love and forgiveness so that they will contribute to greater justice and peace and to the building of a strong church.
L'amour pour les sacrements et pour l'Église sont un antidote efficace.
Referring perhaps to the pervasive practice of voodooism, even among Catholics in some African countries, the Pope reminded all those present that love of the sacraments and the Church are an efficacious antidote against a syncretism which deceives. This love, he continued, favors the correct integration of the authentic values of cultures into the Christian faith and liberates from occultism and vanquishes evil spirits, for it is moved by the power of the Holy Trinity itself. I'm Tracy McClure.
The Pope's first engagement on arriving at the town of Ouidah was a visit to the tomb of his friend, the Viennese Cardinal Bernardine Gantin, who was a former prefect of the Congregation for Bishops and later was Dean of the College of Cardinals. Cardinal Gantin was the first African cardinal that held such senior positions in the Roman Curia and is widely considered a national hero in his homeland. Our correspondent travelling with the Pope is Father Moses Hamangole, who filed this report.
Ouidah, a city on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean of Benin, is famously known for the practice of voodoo as a market and a departure port for slaves from West Africa. Benedict's first assignment in Ouidah was at St. Gall Seminary, where a compound full of seminarians, priests, religious men and women awaited his arrival, under the sun or shielded by the few white and yellow umbrellas, colors of the Vatican flag. St. Gall Major Seminary, 3 kilometers north of Ouidah City, is the oldest seminary in West Africa, founded in 1914 under the management of the Société de la Mission Africaine, SMA, and from 1923 it catered for candidates to priesthood coming from vicariates of Togo, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Central Africa, and Congo. On arrival at St. Gall Seminary, Benedict went straight to the chapel where he knelt to pray before the Eucharist, before going to pay respects to at the tombs of Cardinal Bernardine Gantin and Monsignor Louis Parizon. Before leaving the chapel, Benedict blessed and talked briefly with a number of sick people that were on hand to meet him. Before leaving St. Gall Seminary, Benedict blessed a child, a baby, and entered into the Pope Mobile, which drove him to Immaculate Conception Basilica, using the road named after him 2 days ago and waving at hundreds of people lined up to greet him. This is Father Moses Hamungole with Benedict XVI in Cotonou, Benin.
Earlier on Saturday, Pope Benedict urged African leaders not to deprive their people of hope and adopt a courageous, ethical approach to their responsibilities. His remarks came during a wide-ranging speech to Benin's political leaders, diplomats, and representatives of the main religions in the West African nation. Philippa Hitchin filed this report on that encounter.
At the heart of Pope Benedict's words to the political, diplomatic and religious leaders of Benin was an appeal to act with courage for the good of the whole nation. Addressing firstly the socio-political and economic life of the country and of the African continent as a whole, the Pope said too many conflicts have originated in man's blindness, his desire for power and in the political and economic interests which mock the dignity of people and nature.
En ce moment, il y a trop de scandales et d'injustices, trop de corruption, d'avidité, trop de mépris, de mensonges, trop de violence qui conduisent à la misère.
At this time, the Pope said there are too many scandals and injustices, too much corruption and greed, too many errors and lies, too much violence which leads to misery and death. All people, he said, wish to understand the political and economic choices made in their name, choices which must therefore always serve the common good.
Mais ils doivent toujours servir le bien commun.
Secondly, Pope Benedict spoke about the essential role of interfaith dialogue in Africa, and in Benin in particular, where Catholics, Protestants, Muslims and followers of traditional voodoo religion live side by side. Condemning any use of scripture or the name of God to justify violence, the Pope pointed to the model of so many families in Benin, where members of different faiths remain united.
Je vous encourage à promouvoir, surtout parmi les jeunes, une pédagogie du dialogue.
Using the image of an outstretched hand where each of the five fingers is quite different yet all are essential to the whole, the Pope said there are many forms of interreligious dialogue, such as cooperation in social and cultural areas, that can help people to understand each other better and live together serenely. In this area, the Pope said, Africa can offer us all food for thought and become a symbol of hope for the whole world. I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Formerly known as Dahomey, Benin is one of Africa's most stable democracies and has a strong civil society, although poverty is widespread. Catholics form nearly 20% of Benin's population, and their number has grown very rapidly over the past decade. It's also a place where the church played an active role in bringing about political reforms. It was a Catholic bishop who headed the committee in 1990 that helped draft Benin's new constitution, allowing multi-party democracy for the first time. In an exclusive interview just ahead of Pope Benedict's departure for Africa, Benin's ambassador to the Holy See, Theodore Loko, spoke to us about these cordial relations between church and state in his home country.
As far as the relation between the government and the church is concerned, I have to mention first that we know gospel before our independence. It shows that before our independence, church was present in Benin and present through social relation. They have built school, hospitals. They are present at social point of view. Mm-hmm. And now, after our independence, it is important to say that at any time there is any difficulty in Benin, the bishops of Benin, they talk to the people, with the government. So we can say that in Benin, we have a dialogue between church and the state.
How important is the figure of the late Cardinal Gantin to the people of Benin? Or what does he represent for the people of Benin?
To talk simply, Cardinal Gantin is just a son of Benin. A son of Benin who can be called today the first ambassador of Benin, because through him, many people know Benin. And here in Roma, when I hear about him, I'm proud.
Yes.
Proud. The Pope told me Cardinal Gantin is an African who gave a lot to the world. When I remember that man represent the Pope at Lourdes, France has colonized Benin. Who can imagine that A son of Benin can represent the Pope in France. So we can say that at international point of view, at the diplomatic point of view, he is a great figure for us. But we can add that among the people of Benin, Cardinal Gantin is like the model of service. And this can be useful for priests and no priests.
Maybe, I don't know if you would want to extend your reflection on Cardinal Gantin to the people of Africa. He's also an African as much as he's from Benin.
What we give to the world is very important. So the African, I know the Africans can give a lot to the world. Yes. At the cultural point of view, we have a variety of things. We must be aware of this. It's very important that we are black, we are from Africa, but we can give at cultural point of view a lot to the world. In Benin, to make people notice this, the government decided to give the name of Cardinal to the airport, International Airport of Cotonou, Cardinal Gantin. The government helped to create a foundation to show to the young people how we have to work to serve Africa, to serve Benin. When we speak of church, we say church in Benin, church in Africa, not church of Benin and church of Africa. It means that what is happening in Benin is for all the church.
That was Benin's ambassador to the Holy See, Theodore Loko, speaking to Father Moses Hamangole. As we mentioned earlier, the highlight of this papal visit to Benin is the signing and release of the post-synodal apostolic exhortation, containing the conclusions of the last Synod of Bishops for Africa. The General Secretary of the Synod of Bishops is Archbishop Nikola Itarović, who explains why this papal document is so important for the future direction of the Church in Africa.
In my opinion, the document is very practical and very pastoral, and the document will serve as a guidelines for the present and the future of the pastoral activity of Catholic Church in Africa. The Holy Father, in communion with all bishops, especially those who take part at the Second Special Assembly for Africa, reflect about the reconciliation as source of the peace and justice in Africa. That's very important for the Universal Church, but in this case, this document is written especially for the African countries, for the Church in Africa. And the Holy Father underscored that Church is the family of believers which are reconciled with God and with one other. That's family of person reconciled between them. And in this sense, the Catholic Church became the sign of reconciliation of all society.
Now, what are your suggestions with regard to the dissemination of the message or of the exhortation among the faithful? Because it would be a useless document if it is received and then it is put under the cupboard.
Exactly. That's very important that this document should be known at all people of God, all Christians, no, even Catholics, but belonging to different Christian churches and communities. That depends of bishops, of priests, religious people, and Christian lay people. In this document, there are especially emphasis about the role of catechists, which have today a very important role in the Catholic Church. So symbolically, the Holy Father will give this document to president of bishop conferences, but with this gest, he intended to give symbolically this document to all bishops of each country, and through bishops to all priests, religious persons, lay people, even of men and women of good will, even those which are not Catholic. Because in the document, there are very interesting reflections about their religious dialogue, especially with those who believe in the traditional religions of Africa, especially with Muslims. So bishops should organize in communion with their presbyteriums, as priests, religious people, and the lay engaged people, how to translate it in simple exhortation this big document, important document for the present and the future of Africa, that all members of the Church in Africa should know it and should observe this indication in their spiritual pastoral life.
That was Archbishop Nikola Eterovich, General Secretary of the Synod of Bishops, speaking to Vatican Radio's John Baptist Tumisimi. One of the most keenly awaited events on Pope Benedict's busy agenda was his scheduled meeting on Saturday afternoon with abandoned and sick children who are cared for at a residential home run by the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity Order in Cotonou. Sister Fidelia Chukwuma is a missionary originally from neighbouring Nigeria who also cares for children in Cotonou. She talks to us about her own work, the role of women in society, and the challenges of being a missionary in Benin.
Well, most of the time, it's difficult to manage children because in kind of world we are in now, there's so much corruption and the children, they are learning and they learn very fast. So it depends on what we present to them. So if we present to them that the world is bad, they will capture that and it will definitely affect the future. But if we're able to mold them in a way that they're supposed to go, though it's very difficult, that's true. But I think if we make the efforts, collective efforts of the children, of the teachers and the parents and everybody around, I think we can help to make these children to have a better world because they are the future, as I said earlier on. And if we can make them, if we can instruct them well, definitely it will be better for us.
Do you think it's a good idea that the Pope is meeting the children during this visit?
Yes, it is, because it will make a deep impression in them, knowing that they have met with such a great personality. It can affect them later on in life, even though they may not be Christians. But it can also spread the message of unity between Christians and Muslims all over the world, so as to reduce the conflicts that we see between different religions. But we have the Pope meeting with children, no matter what religion, even if they are not Christians or whatever, but they are gathered together under one name. It will help to preach the message of unity.
You work as a missionary here. What would be one of the challenges of working in an African country, being an African and working in another country as a missionary?
Being an African and working in another country, though, is the same Africa. But I would say that the missionaries of old had an advantage. Excuse me if I use this language, because they have the white skin, so it's very, very easy for them, easier for them to proclaim the gospel, because when you see somebody that is different from you, you are automatically attracted to that person. But if it's the same color of skin, you know, you have to make more efforts to be able to capture the attention of somebody. So that's the first challenge, but it's not so difficult because we are trying to preach the same Christ. And though in a changing world, you have to find the means of really catching the attention of people, but I would not say it's quite a great challenge.
One of the issues I'm sure your congregation deals with, or one of the sectors of the human society your congregation deals with, are women. And I'm sure the Holy Father will be addressing some of the issues that affect women in this post-synodal exhortation. What would you say about the violence against women?
Most of the time, when we talk about violence against women, we find out that it's women themselves who inflict such violence on themselves. Sometimes we look at the traditions that we have in our various, in our different African societies. Some of the measures inflicted against women, for instance, the widows. There are some measures inflicted against some widows because their husbands have died or something. And it's women themselves who inflict such drastic measures. So if we can get to the women to educate them, to emancipate, they can emancipate themselves so as not to inflict such disastrous measures on themselves. So we need to educate them to be free, because sometimes we hold ourselves captives. If we're able to open our eyes and see that, no, it's a different world now, women can come out of their shells and take things in their hands and create a better world. So women can help women to become better citizens.
What would you say about the contribution of the women to society and to the Catholic Church in particular?
In the society, we can see that women are coming out more than before, because normally in the African society, women are always in the background, but we can see now that women are coming out a bit more. And in the church, women hold a very prominent place in the church, because they are the ones that you see most of the time when you go to the church. They are the majority, and they also encourage their children to come to the church. So I would say in a way that they are the pillars of the church, and if they can encourage their husbands also to be active in the church activities, it will help a long way. So women, they hold prayer very, very dear, so they are active in the church, I would say.
Earlier on, you mentioned you work with the children. What would you say to the parents, especially who look after these children and have the responsibility to help the children grow in the proper way?
Most of the time, when parents take their children to the school, they think the responsibility is only for the teachers and those who work in the school. But they also have a responsibility at home to make sure that these children are actually doing what they are expected to do. Sometimes they will say they are so busy, they have so much to do, having to look for money to take care of these children. Fine, it's important, but the most important thing is also to ensure that these children are well taken care of, in the sense that you monitor what they are doing. Maybe they're supposed to study at this particular time, and also to monitor what they look at in the television or internet, if they have access to the internet, to monitor what they are actually going through in the internet, not just to leave them on their own, because they still need to be supervised. So it's not just for the teachers and the catechists or whatever, but they also have a great responsibility, because the first church is the home. So the parents have that great responsibility for their children.
One of the themes of the visit, as I see the posters around, is reconciliation through justice and peace. How important is this theme for the church in Africa and for the Catholic Church in the world, so to say?
Well, it's very important. But most of the time when we talk about justice, reconciliation and peace, we tend to look at the exterior. We don't really look at it from the interior. But the fact is that if we want justice, it begins with ourselves, what we do in our own small context before we can extend it to outsiders, what we do in our own home with those that work around us, with our neighbors. And also reconciliation, we also have to be reconciled within ourselves before we can be reconciled with those outside. And then talking about peace also, they said you cannot give what you do not have. So for you to be able to give out that peace, you have to find it within yourself. Then from there you can spread to those, your family, your neighbors, and then it can reach out to the world. So I think when you talk about reconciliation, peace and justice, first and foremost, it starts with the individual, and then from there it goes out and spreads. Once one person starts it, from there we can have a chain that will encircle the whole world to spread justice, peace and reconciliation.
So in a way, you agree this is a very important need for, there's a need for reconciliation, there's a need for justice and peace in the world, and especially in Africa.
Yes, it's very, very important indeed. Looking at our world, there are so many conflicts in so many countries, and I think this is one of the things that the Synod is going to address.
Is there anything else you would like to say in the context of the papal visit, or generally as a missionary working here in Benin, some of the challenges you have encountered?
As a missionary, I think the most important thing is just to be able to bring that light of Christ wherever I may find myself. And also for the Pope's visits, it's an event that is once in a lifetime. I know it's going to produce a lot of fruits, good fruits for us here in Benin.
That was Sister Fidelia Chukwuma, a missionary in Benin. Well, that's all for today from me, Susie Hodges, here at Vatican Radio's English programme. But we'll be on the air again at the same time tomorrow. And you can always find our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. Laudato Jesus Christus.